Hi and welcome back everybody. Today I am talking with Arnold San Miguel. He is one of our team members here at Outsource Accelerator, and we are going to touch on a few core topics regarding outsourcing and topics that are very relevant to what we are finding ourselves in at the moment, which is the coronavirus outbreak. It's a pandemic, and Manila and the Philippines is officially on a lockdown. And most of the world now is also entering periods and variations of lockdown. There's enormous impact on businesses generally. And, you know, we are using this time to hopefully get messages out there to connect the outsourcing industry, but then also providing valuable information for businesses out there in the West about how they can potentially utilize offshore staffing to shore up their businesses, both in the difficult time that we're facing now, but then also during the recovery, the inevitable recovery time that, you know, we enter once the worst bit is over, because, you know, undoubtedly things are looking pretty grim now, but most definitely things will recover and, you know, we need a plan, I believe. Businesses need a plan, and they need access to resources to make the best of their recovery. So, you know, I believe outsourcing is a fantastic resource generally, but, you know, very much so in times where cash is hard to come by and you need to make the best of whatever resources you have. So let's get into it. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy.
This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA or go to our website and we will have links there.
So I'm joined by Arnold San Miguel. Hi Arnold, how are you?
Hi Derek, doing good.
Great. We've been working together for years now. We did a series of podcasts, the Outsource Accelerator podcast, when the podcast was new and fresh. And recently we haven't done so many of those between us, Arnold, but it's great to have you back on the podcast, you know, partly because of the coronavirus, we're all working from home, but also because, you know, I think there's a lot of value that we can share regarding outsourcing and in business. So it's great to have you back on the podcast, Arnold.
Yeah, great to be here.
So first of all, today we are talking about work from home, WFH. This is really trending at the moment. The entire world is moving towards or into a work-from-home mode. A lot of businesses that never thought they would do it, never thought they could do it, they're suddenly being forced to work from home. They're suddenly being forced to adapt. And actually, you know, I think a few businesses are actually seeing that life still carries on when people are working from home, and they might even be realizing some efficiencies. Obviously, they'll be facing some challenges as well. So, you know, it's an interesting journey that everyone's on. Now, the outsourcing industry isn't generally work from home, but it has a lot of close relationship with work from home because it is remote in nature, and it uses all of the same tools, all of the same communication tools, all of the same work and planning tools to get that work done. It also taps into a lot of the sort of organizational operational structures that is the backbone of outsourcing and BPO and business process outsourcing. So we wanted to start this series by really focusing on work from home, some of the pros and cons of working from home, and how people can potentially harness that and take advantage of that for their business during this time of corona. So let's get started. I don't want to take up the airwaves completely. I want to hear from Arnold. First of all, we want to cover what are some of the pros and cons of working from home. Arnold, do you want to get us started?
Yes, Derek. Thank you very much. And yeah, one of the pros and cons of working from home, I would put into is a junior role versus a senior role. So to put this into context, imagine if you're hiring a couple of developers. It's easy to work with experienced or senior developers because they already know what they are going to work on. Even if they do it remotely or in the office, the output is most likely going to be the same. Unlike if you consider hiring junior or people that still needs a lot of training, enabling a work from home setup might pose a couple of challenges. First off is the way we train them. They might have different paces in terms of learning the project and how to deliver the project. So I think that's a very good note to keep track of.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely correct. More senior people have the ability to work independently and autonomously, and junior people will need that extra support. So if they don't get it in a physical locale, then you need to build the structures around. Also, this is a sort of a judgment as well, but maybe junior people or maybe senior people are more in the routine. They have maybe more of the sort of discipline of a standardized workday, and younger people can be a little bit more easily distracted. So there's a few pros and cons to keep in mind there. The next one is security and compliance. So a lot of people now have been forced into work from home, and they're suddenly going, hold on, how do we manage secure systems, compliance, especially if people are dealing with credit card details or PCI compliance or HIPAA compliance, things like that. It is very much a con, and it is harder to have these operations managed securely from home. There's no real way of getting around that. Now, there are systems and tools and hardware that can be adopted and used to increase the level of security, data security, and things like that. But generally, it is only second best to having a secure workplace and secure facility.
Yeah, the next one or the third one, I believe, is team morale and team culture. Now, this is more of the cons side of doing a work from home setup. Unlike if you're in the office, it's easier to get to know your colleagues. It's easier to try and know who they are. You go on lunches together. You take your coffee breaks together. You start the shift together. The challenge here is that if everyone is working from home, it doesn't have the same vibe to it.
For sure, for sure. And look, everyone is so excited, especially in Manila, Philippines, where we are based at the moment, so excited that they get to work from home. They don't have to commute, and they can work putting their feet up on the sofa. But I think very quickly people get a little bit bored. People miss the work environment. People miss the water cooler moments and the collaboration that they see with their colleagues. So there's definitely pros and cons to, having the work from home structures. And, I think most definitely things like team morale, the alignment, the culture, they are hampered by having a disaggregated workforce. So the next one, the cost. Look, undoubtedly, it is cheaper to have people working from home. There is an increase in expenses in that you might need to utilize more tools. You might have to get people laptops instead of desktops. But without doubt, if you're actually able to remove the need for an office, then it is without doubt cheaper. And that's a huge benefit in the time where companies need to be, you know, the most cost sensitive as they come out of these things. The outsourcing industry is traditionally office based. There's already great savings to be had there, but people, you know, are, I think as you know, we come out of this big recession, people will be looking to cut costs as much as possible. So, you know, moving office-based workers into the home environment is an option that I think people will be considering.
Yes, the next, for me, the next disadvantage of having a work from home setup is probably the internet and utilities connection. We all know that the Philippines, some of the areas here doesn't really have a reliable and stable internet connection. And that means that at any given day, you know, these things can really affect the productivity of the employee. Unlike in a traditional office setup, there are backup lines, there are redundancy lines, there are 24/7 generators to provide backup electricity, which is a very important thing.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, people that are sitting in the West and they are considering the work from home options and opportunities, you have to consider that the average Filipino home is quite different to the average home in the West. Often the home environment is not conducive to a good work environment. As Arnold says, you know, there's a high potential that the internet isn't great. There's a high potential that there could be interruptions to that internet, a high potential that even electricity is interrupted, but also just the home environment might not be feeling that great. You know, they might not have a desk. They might just be kind of on the laptop, on the sofa, and that's not so good over the long term. So something to consider there. So the next section, we want to just talk about the roles for work from home. You know, there are some better roles and some less good roles for work from home. So, you know, I suppose we can just start discussing that. Do you want to kick off with that, Arnold?
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
Yeah, I think the first and foremost important role that can be done in a work from home setup would be customer service, specifically non-voice functionality or roles. With this, if you're in an e-commerce business and some of your staff needs to talk to or needs to communicate with suppliers or clients via chat or text or email, these are roles that can be done safely at home simply because they are not client-facing and it doesn't really require them to talk to anyone over the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Customer service now, you know, there's huge armies of people, and generally they can be done from many places, especially the chat and email-based ones. So another one is developers. They are great to be done from home. There is quite a demand now amongst developers that they are allowed to work from home generally. Again, I would heed caution to have this as a long-term solution. Generally, again, I don't want to generalize, but developers as well, they have very much their own sort of habits and peculiarities. They might want to work through the night sometimes. They might want to get up late. And, you know, they generally have their own groove about them. So it is, you know, it is something that can be very applicable to working from home. But again, I just want people to consider that long term, it might not be the healthiest environment and most conducive. And especially if you're going through a difficult development product or project, you know, it might be better to have those team huddles and the team environment.
Yeah, the next one would be creative roles, wherein you might get writers, graphic designers, and animation editors, for example, wherein, you know, they can efficiently do their job at home with the right environment, with a more conducive environment. And necessarily, these are the outputs of these roles are already determined. So it's easier to track even if they are working remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. The next one I want to mention is sales and marketing. Now, there's a caveat there in that it's not really the voice sales and it's not really the relationship-based B2B building sales, but effectively the back-end sales and marketing. So you can be doing a lot of sales SDR roles, a lot of lead generation, a lot of scraping, a lot of reaching out to people on LinkedIn, on email, on chat. All of these sort of nurturing aspects and initial contact aspects can be done very efficiently from home. Also marketing, which is the softer aspect of sales, especially all of the sort of social media maintenance and contributions are all very effectively managed from home. We'll zoom through this as well, just to be conscious of your time, Arnold. Basically, you know, in summary, anything that is dependent on computers, which is now most things, are very easily done from home. Now, you know, stating the obvious, if you're a pilot or a plumber, it's not so easy to do those things from home. So if you're wondering what can and can't be done from home, just think, you know, what is mainly done in the cloud on your computer. And now, luckily, that is most things, but those things are the best to start. One thing that is not great is that is something direct to the customer, okay? I would deprioritize moving that to home. So anything where there is immediate customer interaction, immediate voice customer service, then, you know, deprioritize that and focus on the sort of back-end non-core functions first.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can start off with, in terms of implementing a work-from-home setup to your current structure, like this is the best way to go about it.
And also just in addition to other things that aren't so good for work-from-home, it is shift-specific roles. So, you know, if you need a certain very concrete shift cover, then that's not so ideal if people are working from home. So that is some high-dependency customer support roles. It's generally better to have roles that are asynchronous, so creative roles and things like that, that, you know, it just has to be done within the day or within the week, and it's not necessarily so dependent on what times specifically people are there to cover their shift requirements. And then moving on, so work from home, it's important to still maintain a policy, we believe, as work from home as being a reward for employees and employment, not necessarily a given, okay? And it's important that you lay the foundations from the beginning in that, you know, things are to be reviewed. And it's important to bear in mind that it's easy to go or relatively easy to go from an office space into a work from home, but then it's relatively far more difficult to go from a work from home into an office space. Generally, you know, people will resist that much more than the other way, especially if your staff are distributed across a major city or even the countryside. So just bear in mind that when you lay the foundations, be very clear so that you set expectations with your staff and your team about the work from home arrangements, whether it's temporary, whether it is a reward or a benefit for, you know, long tenured employees. So it's good to keep it in mind as it is a benefit, not necessarily a right.
I agree with that, Derek. And I've been with the outsourcing industry for over 9 years now, and I can attest to the fact that getting a benefit which allows me to work from home on certain days, specifically on, let's say, certain Philippine holidays, which falls on either a Monday or a Friday, is a very good thing to have. It allows the employee to be able to make certain plans so that in exchange for not traveling to work, that employee can spend more time with his family or with their loved ones right after shift without having to commute for an additional 2 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. And the traffic in Manila and the Philippines is horrendous. So, you know, it's important to be mindful of that. And, you know, it's like anything in life. If you have too much sweets or ice cream, then, you know, it actually isn't so good for you. So it's important to have these things as benefits. Now, of course, this is different in the time of Corona and COVID. You know, and this is now becoming a necessity. But again, I think it's important just to set its foundations. So moving on, the last topic now is tools. How do we enable work from home, especially for companies that aren't previously working from home? Luckily now, I think most companies are online-based. Most companies are sort of using computers. Most companies have a suite of tools that they're familiar with, and most of those tools are now cloud-based. So, you know, I think we're relatively in a good position. The world also is very familiar with things like Zoom and Skype, Slack, you know, a lot of the sort of chat apps. So the world is already now very much empowered with the capacity and the tool set needed to work from home. Now, there are industry-specific tools, things like Time Doctor, that can help you or the employer monitor the productivity of people as they work from home. It's questionable whether this is necessary or not, whether it's whether it has a positive or a negative impact overall, but there are suites of tools out there that can help employers monitor and manage productivity. You know, alongside the general communication tools, you do have a whole range of project management tools, from the easy, simplistic things like a to-do list to Trello boards, right up to more complex project management tools such as Asana, things like that. We have a separate article that outlines all of the tools for the BPO industry. That is on our website. And of course, we will add a reference to that in the show notes. So go and check that out. And we can also cover that on another podcast. But just, you know, wanting to assure people that you probably already have all the tools that are needed to go work from home now, and you don't need anything complex. The downside with complex tools is that adoption is more complicated and lower. So if you keep things simple, you know, you just use the most basic Google Docs and Google Forms for the majority of your communication, then you can't really go wrong, and we're already pretty much all empowered to go working from home.
I agree, Derek. And as long as the employee can connect online, then they are able to work.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's all from us. Thank you so much for joining me today, Arnold.
Thank you, Derek.
That was a coronavirus special episode. I hope you found value in that episode, and I hope you enjoyed meeting and hearing from Arnold, who's a key member of our team. If you want any of the show notes for this and for any of our other podcasts, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/ podcast. And as always, if you have any questions for us, then just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. And of course, if you need any help with your offshoring, with your outsourcing, with building your team and your operations, then just reach out to us.